congregation, as you may remember, candidate Leo was installed last week. His dear father officiating in Franklin Lakes. It was a very good day to be there together. The sermons were blessed. The Lord opened His Word. There was a sentence that touched me from the form for the installation of ministers. Actually, a quote from 1 Peter. This word, feed the flock of God which is among you. And I saw it again. I saw my own congregation before me. I saw him standing on the pulpit for his Franklin Lakes congregation, and I saw myself standing here. Feed the flock of God which is among you. And I had a desire to be on the pulpit the next Sunday again, to feed the flock. I also felt guilty. Kind of, did I feed the flock? One of the ministers who gave an address said so well and so fitting, sermons are not supposed to entertain. Sermons are not there to just be good sermons and emotional and well put and eloquent. But it is to feed the flock of God. So may that be also true this morning. And pray for that. That the Lord may feed His flock. And if you say, I don't belong to the flock yet, maybe in the widest sense you belong to the flock, ask the Lord for that hunger, for that thirst, for that bread, for that faith to eat it. There's nothing more important. So the text for this morning is our sermon, short sermon, is from John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So far. Bread to still the hunger. Three thoughts, spiritually hungry. Secondly, heavenly bread. And in the third place, stilled by eating. Bread to still the hunger. Spiritually hungry, heavenly bread, and stilled by eating. Congregation, young people, you remember that the people of Israel were delivered, right, out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, entering through the desert, on their way to the Promised Land. You know those Bible stories? And I would like to remind you of one piece of that, that the people of Israel that had left were kind of upset. Upset with Moses and upset with the Lord. It did not go their way. There was hunger. They didn't have anything to eat. Should they not have just remained in Egypt and be slaves? At least there was food and drink enough. So they came to Moses complaining and murmuring. Exodus 16, verse 3, And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. So they were hungry, and murmuring, and complaining. And something surprising happened. You would say the Lord would be now upset with them. And say, well, if you talk this way, I let you go and I forsake you and I regret what I ever did to you. No. I've heard the murmuring of the children of Israel. Speak unto them At even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. That's amazing. They complained and rebelled, and the Lord said, I'll give you bread. You know, that is typically God. Being so good not to reward people according to what they deserve, but to be kind unto them and to give them bread when they're murmuring. And it's interesting that murmuring comes back in this chapter, John 6. The Lord Jesus has fed the multitude, 5,000 of them. There are many leftovers. And he has also that night, after the evening after, he has still the sea. And the next day is a conversation with the disciples on the other side of the lake. They were wondering how he got there. And he spoke about the manna that fell out of the sky. And he talked about the people murmuring. You can see it here in Scripture in verses 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And in 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. So the same thing happened. In the desert, they were complaining, and the Lord has given bread. And in the Jewish people are complaining, and the Lord says, I am the bread. To sinful people, I am the bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. What a grace. What a wonder. That the Lord is satisfying the hungry ones. Psalm 107. For he satisfied the longing soul. He satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So the Lord works. A surprising God. He makes all souls spiritually hungry. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. Now all people are hungry, right? We all have a hunger for the things of this life. But do we also hunger for God? Do we hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ? Feed the flock of God, it says. Because there's also hungry people among us this morning, I believe. Hungry in what sense? Well, hungry in the sense that they have such a nice, sweet, satisfying hunger for God. No, that is being rich. If you have such a good and sweet and fulfilling desire, you are almost proud of your desire, almost proud of your hunger. No, there is also people among us this morning, and they are lost people. They can't come any further. Being lost. They feel so dead. And they wish they could thirst and be hungry. They can't even go so far that they have no hunger in their heart. They feel so worldly, attached to sins in this life, and so stuck to the things of he below, that they cannot pray anymore. And they should be really concerned about that, and sometimes not even too concerned. Oh, so low, so ungodly. And the word of God so close that they are ready to give up. It's over with me. And they feel so disqualified. They cannot sit at that table. That's not a good match. God's people are sitting around the table. And I don't feel God's people. You know, that's how the Lord works. He makes people feel ungodly, and he takes all their rights and all the qualifications away. So there's nothing left but I'm lost. That's hunger. That's not a good qualifying hunger, but that's a real hunger. It's a cry. It's an emptiness. It is, I cannot change it. I cannot give anything. I have no money. I can't pay the price. You know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, they remain in the pew. They don't come forward. If you have not been emptied of all your self-righteousnesses, if you are still someone that has something in your hands, the Lord works differently. He takes all our rights away and makes us ungodly. Let's go to the second thought. Heavenly bread. You know, the Lord Jesus spoke about that manna. The people have been complaining, were hungry, and the manna fell around the camps, and every morning they could gather it and make meals of that. That came from God. Straight from God. They didn't have to pay for that. They didn't have to work hard for that. It just was given them absolutely for free in abundance. Quite something. Verse 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Although they have eaten the manna, it did. It's a long time ago. They died. Had to die anyway. But I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Look at that. At verse 5. I am the living bread. Living bread? What is that? Well, he is the living bread. He is alive himself and he gives life. When people eat him, they are nourished and fed well. Then they receive life because they can't come any further than death. So the living bread is for them that have no life in themselves. You know, may I feed the flock of God among us and point to him who is the living bread for dead people, dead in themselves, not unconverted, that's not what I mean, but experiencing the state of death. I am the living bread which came down from heaven freely and generously. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. In his soul, right? Because then after this life, there's another life. There's a soul's life. There's a spiritual life. He shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh. What does that mean? The bread that I will give is my flesh, the Lord Jesus said. His human nature, his flesh. He came into the flesh. He was God, the Son of God, and he became flesh. So he took upon himself the human nature through the Virgin Mary. And he became man. That's food. That's food for hungry souls. I may present that to you and feed the flock with the Lord Jesus being human in order to take the place of a human. to save humans. But he didn't only take the human nature. In his flesh, he was obedient. He fulfilled the law. He did everything that was right. Oh, that flesh to eat, that obedient Son of God, obedient unto death, obedient to the entire law in the flesh, that's food. Or in the flesh, he suffered. He suffered in his human nature. The divine nature cannot suffer, right? But the human nature, he can suffer. He suffered hellish agonies. He suffered in the flesh. He had pain. He was sweating. He was hungry. He was thirsty. Or in the flesh, he died. That's the heart of it. He died. He gave his life. He laid it down. He yielded up the cause and was willing to do that for his flock. So I may also in this morning feed the flock of God with the death of the Lord Jesus. His death is a precious death. His death is a good death. It's Good Friday, right? And that's sufficient to absorb the wrath of God. And with that flesh, he hung on the cross. With that flesh, he died, yielded the ghost. In that flesh, he also was buried. That is really quenching. That is really stilling the hunger. And eating that flesh strengthens. You know, when Jonathan was tired in the battle, he took honey, right, against the will of his father. He took honey, and his eyes were just different. He received energy, and he could fight on. And then someone eats of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes such a difference. So nourishing. And the Lord Jesus came for a reason, to give his life for his sheep. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So the Lord Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly, to let his people grow in it and enjoy more of it and receive deeper insight into it. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, your men, I'm your God, saith the Lord God. See, congregation, that is the real food and drink. Acts 20. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So in this morning hour, the only food that I know of is Jesus, is his flesh. And it's necessary to eat it and to drink the blood. Third thought, still by eating. We all know that it's not enough to have the food on the table. It doesn't benefit you to smell it and to look at it. You have to eat it. That's the real thing, to eat it. And that eating is the same as believing. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So we need to also come to him and receive him and look upon him and eat him. Otherwise, believe in him. Before I explain that, I would like to also convey this. I opened a book in my study of Alexander Comrie, The ABC of Faith. Because I remember that book about that chapter about eating. So I looked at the index and I found the eating chapter. Just a few pages. I recommend the book. I am sure it's in our bookstore. The ABC of Faith of Alexander Comrie. And he has a sentence in there. I looked at it a few times. Yes. He says, and I translate it now, because I read the Dutch version. In the real hungering, in the real hungering is already a little eating. And he says, that's miraculous, that's strange, but if someone hungers for that bread, there is already a little eating of it. And I think he's right. Because if you really hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ, you hunger for a reason. It's not only a reason because you're hungry, but you see something in him that satisfies. And although you don't have it, you long for it. And that's believing. To trust it. To long for it. To seek it. To not rest until you have it. So that eating is symbolic. If you eat something, you unify yourself with it. You assimilate it, you absorb it, you take it in. And so, believing is eating, a symbol for assimilating, receiving, entering and maintaining a relationship with him. That eating of him is a relationship. Then the Lord Jesus is someone you know a little bit. And maybe you don't know him that much yet. Maybe you only know him in his invitation. Maybe you only know him in his invitation. If you only know him in his name, Jesus, he'll save his people from their sins. Maybe you don't have such a deep insight in the necessity of his death yet, as the disciples had neither in the beginning. Going to close, it's a short sermon. I found the text in Song of Songs about eating. And drinking. A text that kind of fits with the Lord's Supper. And there the king is speaking. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat. O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. So at this table here, for God's people, come, friend, come eat. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, in faith, truly enjoy it. treasure the Lord Jesus. Drink it, O beloved. The Lord speaketh to his church, beloved church, the Lord Jesus. He is speaking. He is the King, right? And he says, O beloved, my beloved people, come drink and eat without money, without price. And of course, this fits also with a well-known text from Isaiah 55, verse 1. O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And it has no money. You know, it's such a well-known text, but do you know what it means? No money. No money. Yea, come buy and eat. Buy without money. Yea, come buy with wine and milk without money and without price. And also fitting, I love those words, Revelation 22, verse 17, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Congregation, the Lord can still that hunger. And it's not by just a Bible text. And it's not just by doing something or like it. But there's only one way. To have your thirst quenched and to have your hunger stilled. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's at the table. If you have a divine right and a church right, you must come. Not you may come, you must come. And the church right, what does that mean? It is that you are a member in good standing of our church and congregation here in Chilliwack, or if you are a member of an NSC congregation somewhere else in the Netherlands or here, after you have received permission. And actually this morning too have asked for permission from Holland, and we have granted them permission after having contacted them in Holland. So you know the congregation, back to the point, hunger is not something you can live off. Hunger is not something you can build upon. Hunger is not something you qualify with. It's necessary. It belongs to that true faith to be emptied, but not to qualify with it. May the Lord bring an empty people, a lost people, to the table to drink and eat abundantly.